The Dreamliner is scheduled to make its first flight tomorrow. The Airbus A400M made its first flight on Friday. And so did the Gulfstream G250. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, December 14th, 2009. A lot has happened since we talked last. On Saturday, Boeing completed high-speed taxi tests on the 787 Dreamliner, reaching 130 knots and raising the nose gear off the pavement at Everett, Washington. On its website dedicated to the Dreamliner, newairplane.com, Boeing now says the first flight is planned for Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific time and has promised that video of the high-speed taxi tests will be available by sometime today. Mike Delaney, Boeing VP and 787 Chief Project Engineer, says the test pilots report the airplane performed beautifully in the taxi testing. Quote, "We're going through and analyzing the data to ensure we're ready for first flight. From evaluations we've done so far, everything looks good." Unquote. On Friday morning, Airbus announced its A400M military transport made its maiden flight, and it was no crow hop. The company says the plane flew for 3 hours 47 minutes in the skies over Seville, Spain. The test crew reports all went as it had in the simulations, and that the aircraft known as MSN-1 and its four Europrop International TP-400D turboprop engines performed as expected. Even as he celebrated the milestone, Airbus CEO Tom Enders touched on threats by buyers to bail if the much-delayed program doesn't demonstrate viability soon. Quote, "I hope we can soon provide certainty that we're able to continue the A400M program. This is expected by those at Airbus, our partners, and suppliers worldwide who contributed so strongly to today's success, as well as by the air forces who wait for their plane." Unquote. A total of 184 orders from 8 countries are at stake. Gulfstream reports the first flight of its G250 Friday morning at Ben-Gurion International Airport in Israel. Gulfstream is developing the plane in cooperation with Israel Aerospace Industries in Tel Aviv. The large cabin, mid-range business jet was flown for 3 hours 21 minutes, reaching 32,000 feet and 253 knots. IAI Chief Test Pilot Ronan Shapira called the flight extremely smooth with no issues. The G250 is powered by twin Honeywell HTF7250G engines. Range is 3,400 nautical miles at Mach 0.8, and it cruises at 41,000 feet. Entry into service is on track for 2011. Hawker Beechcraft announced last week it has received China's type certification for the Hawker 4000 super midsize business jet. Deliveries of the flagship aircraft into China are scheduled to begin during the first quarter of 2010. The plane is already certified in 11 other countries, including the United States. Up next on ANN, Cessna will close its new plant in Columbus, Georgia. Bombardier's enhanced vision for the Challenger 605 has U.S. certification. And United will invite Embraer to bid for new narrowbody jets. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for December 14th. I'm Paul Plack. Cessna has confirmed its plans to close its plant in Columbus, Georgia, at a cost of over 300 jobs. The $25 million, 100,000-square-foot plant was just opened in August of last year, initially employing 600 people. Cessna spokesman Doug Oliver tells the Columbus Ledger-Inquirer that some of the assembly jobs will be moving to Mexico, others will be picked up by operations in Independence, Kansas. The process is expected to take between 6 and 24 months, and Oliver says employees will be offered incentives to stay until the plant's scheduled closing and severance packages on their way out the door. Bombardier reports that BEVS, its brand of enhanced vision system, and its heads-up display for the Challenger 605 jet, have received FAA certification. The system is being integrated by Honeywell and uses the SureSight CMA2600i infrared camera. That's a new variant of the previously certified CMA2600. The new camera provides improved sensitivity and advanced processing of real-time images in darkness or low visibility conditions. Bombardier says the camera's position on the upper portion of the aircraft nose is directly in line with the pilot's visual reference point and makes cockpit views more natural. In a report released in October, Air Insight predicted Boeing and Airbus will face tougher competition in the future from China, Japan, Canada, Russia, and Brazil. Right on cue, United Airlines has announced it will invite Embraer to submit a bid for new narrow-body jets, which till now has been the turf of the Boeing 737 and Airbus A320. The research firm Innovation Analysis Group says Bombardier is also likely to be invited. In a company blog, IAG says United CEO Glenn Tilton called the Bombardier C-Series a natural replacement for the 737. United's announcement followed last week's order for 25 each of the Boeing Dreamliner and the Airbus A350 XWB. A lawsuit has been filed on behalf of the families of the five Italian tourists killed in a mid-air collision over the Hudson River in August. It names Liberty Helicopters and the Meridian Consulting One Corporation Incorporated, both of Linden, New Jersey, also named as the estate of the pilot of the Piper involved in the collision, as well as the airplane's owner, LCA Partnership of Pennsylvania. The accident prompted new FAA rules for the airspace over the Hudson River, and separate altitudes are now assigned for sightseeing traffic and other aircraft transiting the area. The Associated Press reports the attorneys say many parties are to blame for the deaths of the tourists and are seeking damages in excess of $75,000 each. Still ahead, the U.S. and Japan have a tentative open skies agreement. DARPA is ready to look at funding space debris removal. And get ready for airbags for the outside of your aircraft. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, December 14th. I'm Paul Plack. On Friday, U.S. Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood announced that five rounds of negotiations started in May have produced an open skies agreement with Japan. And this one's really open. Airlines from both countries would be allowed to select routes and destinations based solely on consumer demand for both passengers and cargo, with no limits on the number of U.S. or Japanese carriers that can fly between the two countries, or on the number of flights they can operate. It would remove restrictions on capacity and pricing and provide unlimited opportunities for cooperative marketing agreements, including code sharing between U.S. and Japanese carriers. The agreement also would provide opportunities for growth of U.S. carrier operations at Tokyo's Narita Airport and ensure fair competition regarding the new opportunities at Tokyo's close-in Haneda Airport. It wasn't glamorous enough to make the headlines, taking out the trash seldom is, but NASA and DARPA last week held an international conference on orbital debris removal last Tuesday through Thursday in Chantilly, Virginia. The U.S. Space Surveillance Network maintains a catalog of almost 15,000 objects in orbit, and there are reportedly hundreds of thousands more objects too small to be cataloged, but still big enough to pose a threat to satellites. DARPA hopes to model the debris problem and has issued a request for information to industry to solicit and explore possible debris removal strategies. And finally today, a system designed by NASA to cushion spacecraft during hard landings was tested recently on a helicopter airframe to see if it would protect the occupants in the event of a crash. The deployable energy absorber is a honeycomb cushion made of Kevlar. Think airbag for the outside. It was attached to the bottom of an MD-500 donated by the U.S. Army. Crash test dummies were strapped in, and the fuselage was dropped from 35 feet. Afterward, the skids were splayed, but the belly pan never touched the ground, and the dummies pulled through just fine. NTSB says more than 200 people are injured every year in helicopter crashes in the U.S., mainly because their missions require spending lots of time on the wrong side of the height velocity curve and near obstacles. And some of my fixed-wing friends say calling the occupants of any rotorcraft crash test dummies is redundant. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves tells you about a couple of his favorite apps for the iPhone. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts in iTunes, Odeo, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. have a clear and unlimited day.